joining us tonight is my dog Luna.
What is your dog? You're not even looking at me. She's like looking over across the room. What the hell are you doing? I'm gonna say this to you. Oh, now she doesn't. Now she's pissed. That's her response. God, I think she does have to go to the bathroom because it smells really bad here now. Shut up.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm a little ticked off, not gonna lie. I was really hoping for a series sweep up against the Penguins for this regular season. The Capitals walked into this last game up against the Penguins 10-1 on goals. They completely, you know, wiped the floor with the Penguins this season. And then it seems as if I'm the only one that was excited for this game because the Capitals didn't show up. They decided to take the night off. They looked pretty bad up against the Penguins. The Penguins pretty much were skating circles around them in the Capitals zone the majority of the first period. Braden Holtby had to kind of play on his head. Where was this team up against the Penguins?
Somewhere else. Because they were definitely not playing at Verizon Center, not until, what, like 3 minutes left to go in the third period? I mean, they had a couple of moments here and there, but they didn't have a shot on goal. And this has been a recurring trend over the past couple of weeks, that they don't have a shot on goal until like 6, 7, 8 minutes into the game. And I don't know what is the deal with that, but that is something that is going incredibly poor. And it's definitely a bad trend that they're going on. And it's, I'm sort of wondering if they're in a lull right now, or if it's more, you know, if this is a reoccurring theme and it's something that's going to be continuing on throughout the rest of the season. And going into the playoffs is definitely going to be a problem. So I think that with, what, just a couple of days left until the trading deadline, this team has potentially the need to make some moves to sort of give them a little bit of a jump start, wake them up a little bit. Maybe Trotz and company need to do something a little different to wake them up. You know, take them, I don't know, you do like a team building exercise or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I really don't know what to do here because like they beat the Islanders. They looked pretty good against the Islanders too, who was leading the division.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I mean,
if you go back and look, I mean, they went 2-2 in the past week, so it's like they had good and bad. They destroyed Winnipeg.
Yes.
Which was, that game was fun to watch. The Islanders game, they were getting beat at some points, and then they were able to come back and pull out a win there, so that was good. But then they had the completely embarrassing efforts again against the freaking goddamn Flyers every time.
The Flyers and definitely have the number of the Capitals this season.
Well, it's not just that though, because like if the Caps are playing well and they couldn't win against the Flyers, like that's one thing. But the fact that they're able to just go out and they just do not perform at all in any way, shape, or form, and I don't think it's necessarily because of the Flyers. I think it's just the Caps just not showing up in those games. And then the same thing happened in the game against Pittsburgh. I mean, some of the guys, you could tell that Ovechkin was out there trying, but even he wasn't doing his best. And I think it's a mental thing right now where they're just mentally not checking into games as much as they need to be. If you go and you watch these games, I mean, the Penguins absolutely dominate. I couldn't even remember if the Caps even got it out of their zone.
For the first
6, 7 minutes.
Yeah, they definitely had some trouble getting out of the zone. Braden Holtby, I mean, starting off and everything, he was making some tremendous saves. He was really, you know, keeping the Capitals alive, at least in the early parts of the game. So you got to give him that. But
obviously, well, he did his best to keep him in it, but he had no help from anybody. No. I mean, they were making dumb passes, trying to be too cute. I mean, one of them led directly to, whose goal was it? Who's the shorty? I can't remember who got it for the Penguins. Whoever got the shorty. That was Niskanen, which just, without even looking, just sent it back right to the Penguins player, and he was just like, bye, and just dipped and went right in and scored on the shorthanded goal for them. So it was a pathetic effort. As many power plays as they got, and then as many freaking penalties as they took in the second period. I mean, it was pathetic. It was a complete pathetic effort against the Penguins. Yes, they were able to go and get you got a little close with those games, both the Flyers and the Caps games. Either they lost by one in both those games. The game was not as close as the score indicates. It definitely was not the case. This team got beat, and they got beat badly both of those games.
Obviously, the Penguins didn't want a sweep to happen during the regular season because they had something to prove in D.C. They wanted to show off. They wanted to say, like, look, we're going to see you again in April, and we're going to take you down. And the Capitals obviously were looking past the Penguins. I don't know if they got too confident, saying, like, look at what we did the last three games. We don't need to really, you know, focus on you guys. But obviously, something was wrong here. I honestly don't know where they were at this. I don't know, like, what they were looking forward to. I don't know what they were not focused on. Usually Ovechkin loves to play the Penguins. Obviously, Tom Wilson was ready for this game. He was chirping Malkin. I don't know if you saw it on Russian Machine Never Breaks, but, like, he bumps into Malkin during warm-ups, and Malkin's not happy about it.
I saw that. He's an idiot, though. Like, why would you try and stir them up? They're already going to be jacked up for this game after they gooned it up last time and lost. So they're already going to be jumping to try and get a win here. And then you go and do some BS stuff like that. You already got them on the ropes to some extent. You know they're going to come in fired up. And so you give them even more reason to get all fired up for this game. That was dumb on Wilson's part. And, you know, the Penguins ended up making the Caps pay for it. I mean, they seriously controlled the puck for the first, like, 10 minutes of the game in the Capital Zone. It was embarrassing.
This was definitely the Penguins' game. I mean, they proved that they were doing everything they could to make sure that they dictated how this game was played, including bringing Tom Wilson onto their bench and having him switch jerseys almost and become a part of their team. That was quite an early fight. That was pretty funny. I forget who it was, but somebody put Wilson into a headlock, and then Lotta, you know,
that was
sticking up for Blake his roommate. Como, I believe.
Lotta literally went behind enemy lines.
Yeah, like, he's like, that's my boy. You ain't going after him, and tried to take out the entire bench.
Someone else has to pay the rent.
Me and Burakovsky can't do it on our own? Come on.
Oh, come on. Yeah, Burakovsky's rooming with them now. I'm a little afraid for Andre, but that's
he's going to get corrupted.
Yeah, like none of them. But yeah, I mean, that was I was fighting with a friend of mine who's a Penguins fan during the whole thing, and he was saying how Como had him in a headlock, and he just kind of fell into the bench, and then there was people saying that Como dragged him onto the bench. And so, you know, it was a little sketchy either way, but you know, it is what it is. Wilson puts himself in these situations. The Penguins overreact with Wilson just finishing a check on the guy, and then Como jumps in to put him in a headlock. And, you know, the Penguins are doing what they do, and they try and get away with some cheap shots and things like that. But, I mean, every team kind of does that to some extent. And so it's just the Caps right now need to not focus on the physical aspects of the game. They just keep doing what they've done in the past in terms of the physicality. That doesn't need to change. What needs to change is the overall effort that we've seen these past two games. We've seen them before. We saw it in the game against the LA Kings, and we saw it in the game against the Flyers again. And so I don't know what it is about that team, or just the fact this team just does not show up sometimes, but the effort that they're having throughout the entire game is just not good enough.
So let's kind of segue into the trade deadline here. Given the fact that like you're saying, the Capitals just aren't good enough to pull this off, do you see them making a move to bring in a veteran player to kind of even out this team and kind of fix some of those problems? Because obviously, they want to do something with the defense. The fact that they had Schilling up here, Schilling was one of the worst players up against the Penguins. He was getting penalty after penalty, showing that he's not ready to be an NHL-caliber player full-time. So obviously, they're thinking about bringing somebody up internally or possibly bringing somebody in. What are your thoughts on the trade deadline? What do you see them doing?
Well, it's funny you should bring that up, since I just saw something on, was it Twitter, Facebook, regarding the Capitals, and they may be the front runner to get Curtis Glencross from the Calgary Flames. He's a forward that you kind of look at him, you look at his stats, and you think something along the lines of that he would be, let me look, bring up his stats real quick while we talk about it, but that he would be more along the lines of a kind of a bottom six guy. You could maybe have him on the second line if he is able to get some more goals than you've seen in the past, but from what I saw before, his highest goal total in his career was something like 48 points, which is still good, but it's not what you want to see for a guy when you have a hole in your first line in the right wing. I mean, they've had how many guys play on that line before? Yeah, it was 48 points in the 2011-2012. He had 48 in 67 games. It's not bad, 26 goals, 22 assists. I mean, you put him on a line with Ovechkin and Backstrom, odds are he's going to get some goals, but it's an interesting situation. But, I mean, this is the Glencross thing has been coming up for a couple of days now. And so it definitely looks like the Capitals are moving in that direction. I don't know who they're going to give up. I don't imagine they're going to be giving up anyone like Kuznetsov or Burakovsky or anything like that. You may see, at the trading deadline coming up, you may see a couple of prospects
depending on who they want to bring in, that may go. But with all the trades we'll talk about later in the show, all the trades have been going down today in the last couple of days. I wonder if anything's going interesting is going to happen on Monday. All the trading deadline apparently is today, because I wrote my notes earlier today, and then another freaking trade went down. I had to go back and edit it before we started recording tonight. And so it's been getting a little crazy. But yeah, I mean, with the trading deadline, they need a top line right wing, or at least someone who can fake it better than what they've been doing so far. I mean, the next time I see Jay Beagle on the top line, my head's going to explode. I like Beagle. I know you like Beagle. He's a great player for this team. Not on the first line. And what are they do with Mike Green? Yeah, he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. You don't want to get, you know, nothing for him. If he leaves after the season, signs with another team, you know, is that going to hurt the team in the end? Because they could have gone and traded him at the deadline. But then the question is also, does it make sense to trade him at the deadline when he is arguably one of your best offensive defensemen, if not your best offensive defenseman?
With him, it's pretty much my line of thinking is with Greeny, it's just a price tag issue. Obviously, you are a better team if Mike Green is on your team and he's healthy. Now,
that last part of that sentence is a rather key part.
Yes, that's a very key part. But if the Capitals can get Mike Green to stay here at a reasonable price, then I'm all for it. But if Greeny is looking for millions and millions and millions of dollars, he might be better fit somewhere.
Well, he's going to get millions and millions even if he comes from the Capitals. But the question is going to be, is he going to take a hometown discount? Now, he's come out and said all the right things in terms of, you know, my heart and soul is in Washington, which is nice to hear. But then the question is your paycheck as well going to be? And so they have to go and see if they're going to have the money to be able to afford to keep him around. I mean, they're already putting a ton of money into the defense as is between, the other four. I think Hillen is the only one making under $1 million. I think Alzner's, two point something. Carlson's at, two or three. And then we know that Niskanen and Orpik are both making five or more than that. Yeah. And so it's been getting a little crazy in terms of how much they're paying for the defense. So whether Green's cap is over $6 million right now, so if he's willing to take a bit of a significant discount on that, then I think it's definitely an opportunity for him to stick around. But otherwise, you got to kind of wonder, you know, do you really want to trade a guy like Mike Green and then say that you were a playoff team trying to fight for a Stanley Cup? So that's right. I think believe some along the lines of that came out from general manager Brian McClellan, that he said doesn't make sense to be able to trade it. It was either him or Trotz or something like that. So that's an interesting question, whether they also, if they want to upgrade at the sixth defensive spot, depending on what they do with Mike Green as well. You know, I mean, Schilling was out there the last couple of games where he just looked horrible against the Penguins. I mean, he took two penalties in the span of, 8 minutes? So that was pretty bad. Is Hilling going to be your sixth guy? Is Orlov when he comes back? Is Schmidt when he comes back? Or do you go out and trade for someone that's more of a veteran that you don't have to worry quite as much about in terms of that position? And then also, I think they could use an upgrade on the fourth line. I think they could go in and get somebody that could fill in. I mean, Wilson's been doing okay, but you kind of wonder, is he going to be anything more than just a fighter and a checking line guy? He did score a goal in the Flyers game?
The Flyers game, yeah. I was shocked about that.
But, he got a nice one, but he's also had a great opportunity last night against the Penguins, but just could not control the puck well enough. And then, you know what's going on. Lotta, is he really a guy that's going to be he's in and out of the lineup? Can you go and find someone that is a little bit more of a veteran, someone who's got playoff experience that can go out there and play that role, play that energy line role to better than they've got right now. So they definitely have some room to make some moves. The second line's been a little quiet recently. I mean, we haven't seen a lot out of Kuznetsov. Also did not have a good game against Pittsburgh.
No.
Yeah, he had a bunch of turnovers. But you have Kuznetsov, and he gave up they traded him. Kunitz's goal. I believe it was the one where Kunitz forced his way into that, and Kuznetsov could do nothing about it. So, the second line's been a little quiet. Marcus Johansson's been bugging me a little bit lately. He cannot control the puck on the power play.
He is someone I can see the Capitals letting go and getting,
depending on what they bring back.
Yes, but that's key. And who is going to let one of their top players go at this stage in the game? Unless you're restructuring or something.
Well,
like,
if you go and look in the trades today, which we'll talk about later, apparently a couple of teams.
we'll talk about that, but I don't know what the Capitals are really looking for right now. I kind of feel like the offense is a little crowded. Like, they could definitely get rid of somebody, but
I would go the other way on that.
But you think the offense isn't crazy?
I just don't think they have guys that are quite good enough. Here's the thing I've been finding interesting is that, and this is no big secret in the NHL, that the power play for the Washington Capitals focuses on get the puck to Ovechkin.
That's true.
I think we all know that. But here's the problem with that. And the Penguins did a great job of this the other night on the Capitals' power play, is they would just shield Ovechkin the entire time, and no one else stepped up and was able to score a goal. And the problem is, and it's going to sound weird to hear this, but I think this team is missing the offense of Alexander Semin.
I think not having him on this team and his hooking and penalties and sometimes lazy play, they are in no way missing. Like, that stuff can stay in Carolina.
That's true.
But his offense that he brings and the fact that teams had to focus on him, the Capitals are missing.
Do you think somebody like Kuznetsov could be Semin-esque eventually with more experience?
Maybe. With more experience, he might be able. I don't think he's going to have quite the – he's got some good stick skills. And with the exception of the Penguins game, he's definitely shown that in the last couple of weeks. I don't know if he's got the sniping ability. I mean, Semin had a better shot than Ovechkin. He had the best shot on the team when Semin was here. I mean, he could pull a goal out of nowhere better than anybody that was on the team at the time. And when they let him go, that was more about his the problems that came outweighed the goal scoring that he brought to this team. But they have not replaced him in any way, shape, or form. And when you have Backstrom's not a natural goal scorer. He's a setup man. He does score goals sometimes, even though he always tries to wrap around. That never works. It's him and Johansson.
Yeah, it's got to be a Swede thing. But, like, up against Fleury, you could see Backstrom going for that wraparound. And I'm like, dude, it ain't going to work, man. Don't even try it.
Even Fleury was like,
pfft. He's like, okay. I wonder where he's going.
Gee, I wonder if he's going to try it. Yeah, no, it was just... Yeah, it's an interesting situation. But no, I honestly believe that this team is missing the offense of Alexander Semin, not the rest of it, but the offense of him. And they have yet to replace him in any way, shape, or form. If you go and you look on the second line, there's no one there that really the other teams are going to focus on. They're not going to go, oh, their second line, we really have to focus on that Johansson guy. I mean, Brouwer does a good job as a checking guy, and he had a nice run of goals there, but we haven't really seen a lot from him in terms of his goal scoring. As much on five on five recently. Johansson's not scaring anybody. Kuznetsov is doing a good job with assists, and he's doing a good job winning faceoffs and being able to set plays up, but he's not scoring. And the problem is you got to put the puck in the net, and no one is doing that right now besides Ovechkin consistently. And that's the problem I think this team has right now. And I don't know if they're going to get anybody at the deadline that can do that. I mean, you've had a couple of guys get traded that they could have looked at to maybe do something like that. But, you know, you may have to be one of those things where they have to wait until the offseason to go out and make a trade or try and sign a free agent or something like that to see if they can bring in someone that can replace the offense that they've been missing since Semin left for Carolina.
You know who I think could be dealt at this trade deadline if they can bring something
Brandon's
back?
Brandon's going to blow minds.
Brooks Like.
Ooh, all right. Well, the female audience of ours just got pissed at you.
I know.
You can find him on Twitter at BrandoCat.
Send me your hate tweets. That's
fine.
And
at email at... No, it's good. His address is...
Yeah, Brooks Like, okay, so coming back from his multiple injuries, he's looked okay, but he is definitely not the Brooks Like of old. He is not really setting the world on fire here. But here's the thing, though.
He hasn't scored a goal in, what, like 9 years?
He is a great talent. He would be a great addition to any other team out there. But for me, I feel as if having him and Brouwer on the same team is... I brought this up before.
You want to split up the third line, though?
I think you could.
That third line has been good with Fair, him, and Ward. I mean, they're even. I mean, they've had a third line like that since they had Halpern, Dahlin, and Connor Walchuk back in the early 2000s, late 90s, something like that. It was probably early 2000s where those guys were just dominant as a checking line. And I think the team heavily relies on them to go out and stop the other team's top unit, and you can see that perfectly in the previous three games against the Penguins, where Crosby and Malkin were just shut out because of the third line of Ward, Fair, and Like did such a great job. So if they're going to move out someone like, they've got to be able to bring in someone that they know or have someone internally that they know can fill in that role and what he does consistently. And if you're Brooks Like, you wouldn't mind getting traded to L.A., just saying.
that would make life easier for him.
Just a little bit.
But I can see him...
Watch him move out there and they break up.
Look, he's a great player. I'm not dissing him in any way, and I just said diss because I grew up in the 90s. But listen...
We're kids of the 90s, that's okay.
Oh, yeah. I was wearing my JNCO jeans just now. Brooks, like, he's a great talent. He definitely adds something to a team, but I haven't seen that something for the Capitals in a long time. I feel as if, like, with him being gone for so many years, they were able to adjust to working without him, and they kind of did okay. I feel as if, like, him and Brouwer are very much like the same player, and you don't need two guys guys that's similar on a team. If they can bring somebody in, if they want to go offense and offense, you know, take Brooks Like out of there and give them something unique that they can add to this team. Because right now it's just, you know, kind of like treading water with this guy because he's a great talent. But I feel as if Brower's kind of, you know, just like him. You don't need two of the same type of player on the team.
I mean, they are very similar in some of the things they do. I think Brower's a better goal scorer, but Like is better defensively, and that's why Brower's on the second line playing with those guys, and Like's on the third line trying to shut down the other team's top line. We're also trying to occasionally put in a goal, and I think it's an interesting situation that they have right now with those guys. And Like has, what, another year left on his deal, and Ward's gone at the end of the season. Well, I mean, potentially gone, I should say, at the end of the season. And so,
you hope.
Yes. I used to, but if he's willing to take less money next season, then I think the team definitely has an opportunity to do something here because they have a very good third line with those three guys there, and it would be a shame to have that then lose it after next season, but it depends on what they're going to cost. I mean, if you go and if you bring back Mike Green, depending on what he costs, and you got to go and you got to re-sign Braden Holtby, so you're going to need money coming out of somewhere, and if you, like you said, you trade Brooks Like, and that's $4.5 million off the books, and Ward's $3 million off the books, and then you also got to re-sign Kuznetsov and Johansson. See, the guy I wouldn't be surprised to see traded, and if you trade him in like a high draft pick or a prospect, you might be able to bring in that guy that can replace what you lost when you did not bring back Alexander Semin, is Marcus Johansson. I think you can move him out, bring in someone that can play on that second line or, you know, maybe even on that first line with Ovechkin back. See, if you do that, though, you're going to have too much offense on that one line and nothing on the rest of the unit or the team. And so then we're going to put Burakovsky. I mean, all right, so let's say they bring in someone that can score like Semin did and put him on the first line with Ovechkin and Backstrom. Then you have Burakovsky, Kuznetsov, and Brower. I don't think Burakovsky's a better player than Johansson right now, but maybe in the future he will be. But the point is, they need more scoring, and you got to bring it from somewhere. And if this trade for Glenn Cross ends up happening and he gets put on the first the first line on the right wing, I don't think he's going to be that guy that's going to be able to bring in the offense like Semin. He might be the next Mike Knuble to some extent, where he can just park his butt in front of the net. I haven't seen Glenn Cross really play, so I can't say one way or the other what kind of player he is. But I think he really is missing some offense. I don't know if Like by himself, definitely not by himself, is he going to be the guy that's going to bring in a goal scorer to the extent that this team would need. But you package him with a couple other guys or a couple of draft picks, and yeah, you could go out and do something like that. And that would free up a ton of cap space. And I think a team that is rebuilding if you trade into a team that's in the playoffs, are you really going to strengthen an opponent? Unless it's in the Western Conference, you're not as concerned because you hypothetically and hopefully won't see them until the Stanley Cup Finals. But it's tough to say what you're going to do at the deadline just because you don't really want to strengthen the guys you're fighting with for playoff position. And now a team that's rebuilding could bring in a guy like him just because he has that great veteran leadership. You know, you hear how he's a great guy in the locker room. He's willing to speak up when he does and things like that. And so I think some teams might be attracted to bring in Like, but I don't know if he by himself is definitely not going to bring in enough.
I could see him going to a team like the Winnipeg Jets or maybe the Buffalo Sabres, something like that.
Sabres could be interesting. That's a good point. Although, who are they going to get from the Sabres, though? They already traded everybody to bring in Evander Kane, who's not playing again until next season.
You see, yeah, that's a big thing. There's guys I can see the Capitals getting rid of, but it's what are they going to get on return? That's the thing that, like, it's not – the Capitals –
we'll know by Monday.
Yeah, I think the Capitals could get by with letting Brooks Like go, but I don't know who would be of the same value to come to the Capitals. That's the thing that worries me. It's because we've seen what happens when you have a good player, and then you trade him for a veteran that stinks. We've seen that with Forsberg and Erat. That was still the worst trade.
Oh, wait. Oh, sorry. I was thinking of something else. Sorry, yeah. That was dumb.
Really dumb. I think that's how we got Lotta, though. So, I mean, that helps us with Lotta, but, you know, I don't know.
Honestly, I'd rather have Forsberg than Lotta.
Well, yeah, most people would.
Hey, Martin Erat's going to be a free agent after the season.
It's going to retire that number, I guess. You know. So, all right. So, anything else we should talk about in Caps world?
No. You know, I mean, right now the Caps sit, what, fourth in the Metro. They're 3 points behind Pittsburgh for third, 4 points behind the Rangers for second, and 6 points behind the Islanders for first. So, they're definitely still have an opportunity to go and win the division at some point. I know that's their goal, or so they say. The Caps have played one more game than the Penguins and still played three more than the Rangers, so there's still that problem in terms of games played going on right now. The Rangers, where I'm playing at the moment, they're at the end of the second, they're tied with Arizona. That's so weird to say. Three goals apiece. No one else seems to be playing that they're really worried about. So that's good, I guess.
So, I mean, it's just interesting. We'll have to watch, but they have, what, 5 weeks left, 6 weeks left, something like that in the regular season. They definitely have a chance to be able to go out and win the division. But, you know, it's going to be tough if they keep playing this way. I definitely think they need to go out and acquire – they definitely need a first-line right wing, because this sort of revolving door of first-line right wingers is – it's not cutting it. They really haven't had anyone since Knubel. It's not working out. They got to find someone that can solidify that spot, and it's got to be soon if they want to make a run in the playoffs.
That's a big thing you got to think about, though, because personally, I think long term that's going to be Wilson's spot. As long as like he's got a
will it though?
That's what I'm worried about. Like, I feel like he's getting stunted right now. Like, he needs to continue growing as a hockey player. He's shown he can fight and hit big, but he's gotta be a better hockey player. But like, if you're going short term and this is going to be a guy that's only going to be here for a couple months, then sure, bring him in to be that right wing, but. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you got to reevaluate Wilson at the end of this season. I always thought it would be long term for him, but I don't know. He really hasn't proven himself yet.
He hasn't shown anything offensively that would make me think, even like a little sign or a glimmer of hope, that would make me think that he could bring anything to a first or even a second line at this point.
Yeah, but you got to also remember the dude's only 20. Like he's
no, I know, and I totally get that. But I don't think the team can just kind of hope and prayer that he's going to be there one day, because that one day could be 5 years from now.
Right.
So they got to go and they got to acquire someone that if he's a young guy, fine, then you keep him around and Wilson maybe replaces Brower one day on that second line. And if he ends up as a, you know, a quality second line right winger, that's a good pick. That's a good pickup in the end. That was a good draft pick. But you can't just rely on hopes and dreams of the future. You got to go and get someone now. And if they want to make a run and have an opportunity in this playoffs, and they are a very good team. They haven't shown it recently, but they are a very good team. They definitely have an opportunity to go out there. I mean, ignoring the pathetic effort against the Penguins from last night, they definitely have an opportunity to make a good run in the playoffs, but they still have holes on this roster, still have moves they need to make. And they need to. The best thing would be to do them right now if they want to do anything this season. Otherwise, you got to wait until the draft and see what you can sort of do there in terms of trading picks or prospects for someone. That's sort of the next big like trading thing is usually at the draft.
Yeah, so let's see what happens at the trade deadline. Like you said, it's going to be Monday. Will the Capitals make any moves?
They got to make at least one. If they don't do any moves, I'm going to be incredibly surprised.
We'll see what happens.
Wallen's first trading deadline.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, and we'll be back next week to talk about who's a new addition, who left town. Maybe I was right, and maybe Brooks Lake does leave town. Who knows? But we'll figure that out later on down the road. So now let's take a quick break from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Fuck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Babe, Dan in the city.
No.
It was a stretch.
Yeah, that was a reach, buddy.
That was a real stretch. It is late, and I got two podcasts at it later. I'm tired. What's going on with the Hershey Bears?
Oh, nothing. No, I'm just kidding. In the past week, Hershey went 2-1 with wins over Bridgeport and Providence. The Bears currently sit at 32-14-7, good for first in East Division with 71 points, 5 up on second place Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Now, the Bears play next on Friday on the road in Binghamton. Then they play Saturday at the Giant Center in Hershey against Albany, and then again on Sunday at home against, guess who? Lehigh Valley.
All right. And they're wearing those super cool Capital jerseys on Sunday.
Yes. See, I would prefer they do it where the Hershey is spelled out as opposed to the Bear logo, but they still look cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are making me roll my eyes.
I think we got to at least talk about this a little bit. Liam O'Brien got suspended last week, and there was a huge line brawl and a goalie fight last Saturday.
I don't know how they call it a fight, because I'm pretty sure Copley or whatever it is just pummeled the dude. Gave him a couple shots. The guy was like, I'm done. I'm sorry. Yeah, but O'Brien got suspended because he left the bench, which was dumb on his part, to be honest. That was a poor choice.
Yeah, but it was a big line brawl in Hershey. I was really hoping I was going to be able to check out that game, but instead we got like 6 to 10 inches of snow, so I'm sorry I missed that one.
Yeah, well, the snow did become a bit of a problem for anyone that wanted to go to that game down here. I mean, it was an interesting – I watched the clip of the fight, and, you know, O'Brien – I get if you're trying to go and help your guys, but you're gonna hurt the team in the end if you're getting suspended and something like that. And so that was definitely a dumb move on his part. But yeah, even the AHL, they have some fights from time to time, I suppose.
Yeah. All right. So what's going on down in South Carolina?
Well, down to South. Are we going southern now? Down to South Carolina.
Woohoo!
Oh God. The Stingrays went 2-0, both wins being over Greenville. The Rays are currently – I think the Rays, that's what I'm calling them now. They are currently 28-18-7, putting them third in the East Division with 63 points, 10 back of first place. Reading, Reading, who cares? They're not our affiliate anymore. Stingrays play their next three on the road, with the first being tonight, that being Thursday. They are currently, as we speak, up 1-0. So they're beating Orlando at the moment, the Orlando Solar Bears. That's a weird name. And they play on Friday and Saturday in Southern Florida against the Everblades. That's what's going on down on the farm.
The Solar Bears?
Yeah, dude. Orlando Solar Bears.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to question it, but...
That's a name.
Okay.
It's 1-1 now. Dang it. All right. Well, they were winning. Now they're tied 1-1 with the Solar Bears.
All right. Well, that's it for Down on the Farm. Now, let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We are going around the NHL. There's trades up the wazoo. Heading all over the place. I'm hearing there's an old guy traveling down, retiring in Florida. By the name of Jaromir Jagr.
I didn't even think of that until now. That fits so perfectly.
Coach Dan, tell us what's going on around the NHL.
Oh, man. Florida, as you mentioned, made the surprise move. I didn't think anyone saw this coming. They acquired forward Jaromir Jagr from the Devils for a second-round pick in the 2015 NHL draft, as well as a conditional third-round pick in the 2016 draft. Now, I understand that the Devils will have the choice as to which third-round pick that Florida has. I guess they have two of them, which one they will want. When they get to make that decision, I don't know, eventually. Florida also sent forward Sean Bergenheim. This was a couple of days ago. They sent Bergenheim and a seventh-round pick in 2016 to Minnesota for a third-round pick in 2016. I think it's interesting that Florida would trade Bergenheim away and then acquire Jagr. Interesting situation is what Florida is trying to make, is that Bergenheim was not the right fit. Toronto continued their fire sale, sending forward Daniel Winnick to Pittsburgh for forward Zach Sill, a fourth-round pick in 2015, and a second-round pick in 2016. Toronto also sent forward David Clarkson to Columbus for forward Nathan Horton. Now, what I find funny about this is I believe Horton signed with Columbus as a free agent a couple of years ago because he wanted a quieter market. He's not having that anymore in Toronto.
No.
Not the case at all. Good luck there. Carolina sent... the thing reloaded to see if there's anything going on in South Carolina or Orlando, but they're still tied at 1-1. Carolina sent defenseman Andre Sequeira to L.A. for defenseman Roland McKeon and a first-round pick in 2015. Carolina wasn't done there, sending forward Yuri Tulusi to Winnipeg. Winnipeg's made a ton of moves lately, and now they got Yuri Tulusi. They gave up a conditional sixth-round pick in 2015 and a third-round pick in 2016. So everyone trading draft picks for next year's draft. It's a little interesting. Columbus sent forward Adam Cracknell to St. Louis for future considerations. And finally, Montreal sent forward Yuri Sikesh to Anaheim for forward Devontae Smith-Pelly. So Monday's going to be really boring.
Man.
Everyone's making trades. Don't care about the rest. Toronto also acquired defenseman TJ Brennan from Chicago for forward Spencer Abbott. That one I just noticed on TSN Trade Center. It's a great place to go. On Monday especially, go to TSN. You go to their TSN.ca and you go over to their Trade Center page. They have a ton of information, as well as this great way they organize all the trades as they go down during the day. But it looks like they're all happening in advance, so never mind. In non-trade news, and yes, there is some. Now, I don't normally do injury news, but this one's pretty big, as one of Chicago forward, they will be without star forward and your boy, Patrick Kane, for 3 months.
Oof.
After he broke his left clavicle.
Oh.
Now, if he were to... Yeah, I don't even know what that is, but that sounds bad. If he were to return... Your arm? I don't know. If he were to return, it likely wouldn't be until the Western Conference Finals should Chicago reach it. So that's kind of bad. I got to wonder if Chicago is going to go and make a big move at the deadline just to be able to make sure that they have a nice run through the playoffs until Kane is ready to return. LA signed forward Kyle Clifford to a 5-year extension and forward Jordan Nolan to a 3-year extension. Financial terms were not disclosed. The Islanders signed defenseman Nick Leddy to a 7-year extension. Now, the Islanders were not willing to disclose the terms of the deal, but Letty's agent sure was. He said that the contract will come with a cap hit of $5.5 million per season. You'll like this one. Buffalo goalie Michael Neuwirth became the first goalie to be fined $2,000 for diving slash embellishment after he was caught for it in a game on November 15th and again on February 22nd. Way to go, Nuvi.
What?
You dummy. Let's see. Ottawa defenseman Jared Cohen was suspended for 3 games for interference against Florida's UC Yokohama this past Saturday. Now, while interference does not sound like a suspension-worthy penalty, it was an open-ice hit, it was dumb, and Cowan definitely earned the suspension. He leveled Jokinen with a completely unnecessary hit. Although it looks like his skates did not leave the ice, it was completely unnecessary. And, yeah, he's going to be parking himself for a couple of games there. And finally, Anaheim placed goalie and borderline crazy person Ilya Brizgalov on waivers earlier this week, and he will spend the rest of the season at his home in Philadelphia. He apparently did not plan on playing this season but decided to come back after his agent got a call from the Ducks.
Huh.
That's what's going on in the NHL.
So he's on waivers. Does that mean he like he's done?
No, I think he already cleared waivers.
So like nobody could pick him up.
I mean, they could trade for him, but I don't think he's intending on playing.
Okay.
My guess is if he does anything, he'll come back next season. But I think we've seen potentially the last we've seen of space astronaut Ilya Brizgalov. But yeah, that's the news from the past week in the NHL.
Well, best of luck to him. I know he made a buttload of money from that Philadelphia buyout, so he can just kind of chill out for the rest of his life. he could get his own spaceship and go up to the you know humongous big universe, see it firsthand. So if you want to continue to talk puck and the Washington Capitals, you can tweet to me or Coach Dan. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash, and Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. You can also occasionally find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads. I had an article come out a couple of weeks ago regarding Mike Green and whether the Capitals should trade him or not. And I got another idea kind of brewing in the old mind about another piece for Capitals Outsider. Hopefully that'll be coming out in the next week or so. But yeah, that's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck, the other podcasts we do, as well as our photos and videos. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out from any of our podcasts, you will be the first to know. For What the Puck, go to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Like us over there. You'll be the first to know whenever a new What the Puck comes out. We are also on Twitter at WTP_podcast. Now, here we go. Here is my pitch, my spiel. You guys should be used to this, but you gotta continue to help us out.
Yeah.
Listen to me. All right, everybody, listen. I'm not going to yell at you, okay? I'm not yelling at you. I'm not being mean. I'm not doing anything.
I'll yell at you.
Coach Dan will yell at you. That's why I usually talk at this point. listen, we do the show for free. We have a great time doing it. You guys get to hear it for free. It's the internet. Free stuff rules. It's 2015. Who gives you free stuff anymore? Nobody. Nobody. Your parents probably charge you for, you know, using their washing machine when you come over and wash dirty clothes. All right? Nobody gets anything for free anymore. We're giving you this special Caps Talk for free. So we aren't asking you guys to do a Kickstarter. We aren't asking you for money. We're not asking you to go anywhere and take a survey. All we're asking is if you guys will help us out and spread the word about the podcast, okay? So we're going to post this out there. Share those posts with your friends. Tweet about it. Go on to Facebook about it, all right? Go to Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, Instagram, Vine, Reddit, anywhere you're social on the web. Be proud and say, I'm a Caps fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too, all right? See, I wasn't yelling. Coach Danny was quiet. Nobody yelled at you. All right, so here we go. Here's the games coming up for you guys to watch until we talk again. Friday, February 27th, the Capitals are in Carolina. I don't know if you saw their Instagram feed or not, but they are already there. They are playing at 7 o'clock up against the Hurricanes. That game is airing on Comcast Sportsnet. Then on Sunday, March 1st, the Capitals are back in D.C. up against Toronto, up against the Maple Leafs. That game is at 7 o'clock Comcast Sportsnet, which... You guys better get done before The Walking Dead. We've been over this, okay? They just got to the new town.
Dude, I don't even want to talk about it. I have a game at 9:45 on Sunday. I will not be able to watch The Walking Dead until Monday.
I am so screwing with you. I'm going to text you and be like...
Dude, I swear if you do that, we're never doing the show again.
Can you believe the governor came back and he's the new head of Alexandria? This is crazy.
Dude, I've read the comics. Not going to happen.
I'm in the middle of the comics right now.
Dude, they're good.
They're very different than the show. For somebody coming from the show to the comic, way different. Way different.
This is now the Walking Dead podcast.
What was the hockey Walking Dead podcast I wanted to do with you? What was it called?
I don't know. You're the one with all these weird names.
A puck to the head or a shot to the head or something like that. I wanted to combine hockey and Walking Dead.
Puck to the head's not. That is the name of tonight's show.
Puck to the head?
Yeah.
All right. I'm down with that. Tuesday, March 3rd, the Capitals are in Columbus up against the Blue Jackets. That game, 7 o'clock, and that will be airing on Comcast Sportsnet. So plenty of hockey to watch. We are down to the last month and a half of games. 6 weeks left. That's it, guys. Man, craziness. And then we're on to the postseason. So we got plenty of stuff to be excited about. We need to get back into the win column. We need more points. We need to continue to go up the standings. Capitals need to get into this postseason picture. They're pretty secure right now, but let's make sure they don't slip any farther down. All right, so everybody say it with me. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The silly season is definitely upon us with the trade deadline coming up Monday, like we talked about. But yeah, let's start off around the NHL with some trades.
Did you just say trade deadline?
I don't even know what I said. Like you said, it's late. We're tired. My dog was barking at me before.
I'm pretty sure you said trade deadline.
The trade deadline. That's what we're calling it now. With the trade deadline coming up.